When you look back over your lifetime, you probably feel a measure of gratitude for all God has done for you and your family. And yet it's likely you carry a measure of regret, too, over the painful personal mistakes you'd rather forget. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll brings needed perspective from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and the insightful words of Paul, who wrote, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Chuck titled today's message, "Hanging Tough Together and Loving It."
What's involved in pressing on? What does it mean to hang tough? Number one, the plan is progress, not perfection. Not that I have already obtained it. Not that I have already become perfect, but I press on. I haven't come to a place of sinless perfection. Second, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Well, what is behind? If I gave you categories, I could only name two. First of all, there are great attainments, great achievements, great moments of accomplishment and glory. And that's fine. That's good. But you can't live there. I find that people who live in the glory of past achievements slacken their efforts for what they might be able to do today. They keep calling to mind the way they were, something God did, some great accomplishment He performed, and it's always yesteryear. That can be, by the way, the sound of the death knell over a church. A church can live in the days of past glory. A Christian organization can live in the days when we were a great place, and you're heading for trouble when you do that. The apostle says, forget what lies behind. The second in the past is failure and areas of disappointment and defeat, and we all have them. Now, we're to learn lessons from them, but to keep plowing that same old field and picking fruit from that same old putrid tree, it does nothing but defeat you and steal your courage for today and for facing tomorrow. So let's just pause and ask ourselves, do you tend to do that? Do you tend to focus on the past more than you should? The apostle says, I press on, and in doing it, I forget what lies behind. Now the third, the future holds out hope. Reach for it. See how he says it here? Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I love this part of it. Again, he uses an athletic term, probably has reference to chariot races in the early Olympian Games. Now, I have never seen a chariot. I remember looking at Charlton Heston on a chariot. You may have seen that movie, where they had this chariot race. And I studied that chariot real carefully. I noticed there are no handles on it. It's a rather precarious thing to be a chariot. Apparently it was a precarious thing to be a chariot driver. First of all, you're wearing a skirt. And second, you've got long boots that come up to your knees. And you've got nothing to hold on to but these reins for the horses. And you've got other people that have big jagged things on their wheels, and they're going to try to beat you in this race. And I noticed that one thing that the winner did was that he leaned forward. He reached forward, not only to keep his balance and to stay in that silly little thing where there wasn't a lot of room to start with, but he reached forward driving those horses, and there's a sense of passion in that race. That's the word here. Forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward in this race called life, pressing on, determined to win. Now, I want you to look at the words as they appear in the text, because that's far more important than my comments. Verse 13, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. So it's a plan, that's a progress, not perfection. But I forget what lies behind. The past is done, so leave it. And I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on. He says it again. I don't stop. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I stretch as if in a race. Is that you? Only you can answer that question. Are you engaged in that kind of progressive living? Or are you hung up on something from the past? Or are you over-focused in something out there that's some kind of dream that is far from reality? In it all, the game plan is to hang tough and to live with this sense of quest in mind. I remember hearing Ray Ortland, a pastor friend of mine and of many of us, talk about how when he learned to preach in the balls of his feet as he would lean forward. And there's a sense of passion in that. I see the apostle living his life on the balls of his feet, leaning forward. He's not kicking back and sort of a peaceful alliance or passive coexistence with the enemy. He is on a quest. Let me ask you, does the name Robert Ballard mean anything to anybody? Maybe to some of you. Robert Ballard is a man who lived with a quest. He is the one who discovered on September 1, 1985, the sunken HMS Titanic. He's the one who sent down that bright probe light more than 2 miles deep in the North Atlantic, over 350 miles off the coast of Newfoundland, where the old beautiful ship had sunk. He writes this in a work where he recorded his feelings at that moment. My first direct view of Titanic lasted less than 2 minutes. But the stark sight of her immense black hull towering above the ocean floor will remain forever ingrained in my memory. My lifelong dream was to find this great ship. Lifelong dream. And during the past 13 years, the quest for her has dominated my life. Robert Ballard lived his life on the balls of his feet. For 13 years, pressing for the discovery of that ship. That's the Apostle Paul's point in verse 14. I press on. The plan is a progressive one. The past will leave me, and it must be left aside. It will depress me, or it will overinflate me. I need to leave the past where it is. It'll speak for itself in my life. And the future, I need to reach for it because it holds out hope. How much time do you spend even thinking about the future, my friend? Every year is a perfect occasion to make plans for the next year. If you make no plans, you will be as you were last year or worse. What objectives have you set? What goals have you arranged? What thoughts have you put together to give you hope in this next period of time? All that brings me to the word attitude. You knew I'd deal with that one, if nothing else. Now, the apostle in verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal. J.B. Phillips paraphrases it. I go straight for the goal. Let us, therefore, verse 15, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Number four, the secret is a determined attitude. Maintain it. The secret is a determined attitude. Maintain it. You might have been thrown by his word perfect in verse 15. It sounds like double talk. He said earlier in verse 12 that he has not become perfect. And now in verse 15 he says as many as are perfect. I think that's best described in the words of another expositor. Let me read them. I am complete in the sense that I have grown as far as I can at the present, and I am ready for the next lesson. This use of the word perfect has in mind maturing, reaching the goal of maturity, and I am in that process. As many of us as have reached the level that is the level of our growth, and we are ready to learn the next lesson. Let me mention attitude. The secret is a determined attitude, throwing yourself into life full sail, full bore, holding nothing back. That's the thought. And by the way, he's rather gracious, isn't he? He says, if anyone has a different attitude, God will reveal that to him. He lets other people be. He doesn't demand of you the same drive he has in himself. He simply holds it out as a model to follow. I want you to hold your place here, and let me show you a thought out of James chapter 1. Go over toward the end of the New Testament if you're not familiar with your Bible. And just before those ending letters of Peter and John, you'll find the book of James. And I have in mind verses 2, 3, and 4 of this first chapter. Wonderful words. And especially for you who like life easier rather than harder, and that's all of us, and you who find trials irritating rather than encouraging, and that's also all of us. James 1, 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now watch. Let endurance have its, there's our word again, completing effect. Let endurance run its course. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may become mature, complete, Christ-like, lacking nothing. How does that happen when those tests, well, I think one of the paraphrases talks about when all kinds of trials crawl into your life, my brothers, something like this. Do not resist them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Sounds crazy. You're not taught to do that in books on true greed and the art of selfishness and leadership secrets of Attila the Hun. That won't teach you how to learn through difficulties. You'll fight difficulties. You'll never mention them. You'll live as though they don't happen. You'll press right on rather than embracing them, learning from them, accepting the fact that life is tough, and those with a determined attitude are the ones that make it. I read years ago about an evangelist that owned two bird dogs. He was so proud of those little bird dog pups that he sort of indulged them as he raised them in a large backyard. He noticed as they were growing up that one day a little old Henry Bulldog kind of dug his way under the fence and got into the backyard. Well, those two bird dogs were on him like white on rice. I mean, they were just teeth, hair, and eyes everywhere. And the little old Bulldog skirted out under the fence and took off, yiping on his way down the alley. And the owner stood inside out looking out the kitchen window, and he thought, that's great. Those are my dogs. Next morning, that little Bulldog came back. And he dug back under the fence, and boy, they went after him again, not quite as assertively as before. And he was growling, biting, and fighting, but they whipped him, and he took off. Well, this evangelist had to go on a trip for 2 weeks. And so while he was gone, he decided to ask his wife how the bird dogs were doing. And he called her in a week or so, and she said, honey, the funniest things happen. That bulldog has come back every day. And you know, just lately, he beat the stuffing out of both of our bird dogs, and now when he comes, they whine and run under the house, and they look at him with their ears back. And she said, that little old bulldog just struts around that backyard like he owns the place. That is a determined attitude. You come back at it, and you come back at it, and you come back at it, and it's remarkable how God honors that kind of life. I press on in season, out of season. When it feels good, when I don't feel good, I am determined to see it through. I love the sign that appeared on the boundary of a South Carolina town, just on the city limits. It said, they tell us a recession is coming. We have decided not to cooperate. I think some of you read the news and then decide to cooperate with the news. And in that sense, you live a defeated life. You watch the news at the end of the day, and it is never designed to make you feel great. Have you noticed? When you get through watching it, you never go, man, I'm ready to face the day tomorrow. That is terrific. Thanks, Dan Rather. You really make me feel good. Good night, Dan. You don't do that. You go, click. Oh, my gosh, how are we going to make it through bed? And the next morning, oh, no, it's going to be as bad as Dan said it was going to be last night. It's as bad as I thought. It's worse than I thought. Let's watch him tonight so we'll see how we can do it again. Give me a break. Does that sound like what verse 15 of chapter 3 in Philippians is all about? Have this attitude, pressing on. There's one more. We're in this thing together, folks. Verse 16, and I'm glad he says let us in these last two verses. Let us have the attitude, and let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Number 5, the need is keeping a high standard together. Lock arms with your brothers and sisters in the family. Lock arms with your fellow Christians. Lock arms with those who are listening to and directing their lives by the truth. The need is keeping a high standard together. It's a mutual effort. Listen to two verses. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Isn't that great hope? Here's another one you won't hear on the evening news. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can face it. Most of the Christian life is not big-time tingles. It is not cheers and applause from the crowd. It is not fun and games. It is not relaxed, easy-living, good life. It is gutted out, hang tough, trusting God to use your life in spite of the times in which you live. And He will. I noticed there were some biblical stories that I don't have time to review for you here, but just the names will remind you of them. Stories of men and women who lost their way, as well as those who stayed on course. I think of Lot, who had so much going for him, but he lost sight of the goal. I think of Samson, who judged Israel 20 years and fell into the arms of a harlot, finished so poorly. I think of Saul, the king, head and shoulders above all the other people physically and perhaps even spiritually, a man of humility and grace who became a bitter man because of an enemy mindset he had toward David, and he finally died a terrible suicide. I think of Ananias and Sapphira. What a terrible story. First of all, how'd you like to be married to a woman named Sapphira? But Ananias and Sapphira are examples of a couple who tried to fake out the Christian community, and God didn't let them get away with it. And then there are other names, like Joseph, who wouldn't shrink under the cloud of bitterness against his brothers, who had done him wrong for so many. For all those years, he'd suffered, Joseph. I think of Daniel, who endured the treatment of several ugly and thoughtless kings. I think of John Mark, who did fail, but he returned and became effective in Paul's ministry. I think of Moses. I think of Rahab. These people finished well. Is that your plan? Well, let me see if I can give it to you in a simple statement, okay? Let me give you a little workable statement. Progress is maintained by, here we go, forgetting yesterday and focusing on tomorrow. Progress is maintained by forgetting yesterday and focusing on tomorrow while we keep the right attitude and remember we're in it together. Forgetting yesterday and focusing on tomorrow while we keep the right attitude and remembering we are in it together. I'm encouraged to know that you're on a team with me, and I'm on a team with you. And you don't have to be a star, and I don't have to be a star. We can stub our toes and fail, and because we're locked arms, we're going to pull each other through this thing. You and I are pulling together. We're not against each other. That brings me great encouragement. I remember as a little boy in a little Baptist church that we attended for several years growing up in South Texas town of El Campo. I remember lying on the pew, bored stiff, listening to sermon after sermon. But I remember a gospel song that was just terrific. And it says this: I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up, let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And I realized when I finished this message that song is based on Paul's words, pressing on. Lord, I'm pressing on the upward way, and I'm in a process. I'm learning something every day. Praying as I onward bound, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, what a way to live. Let's bow together, please. I don't know the details of your circumstances, and it's probably best that I don't, so that you won't have any feeling that I've been talking just to you or that I planned this message with you in mind. You may be surprised to know you're living near and spending your life around others who are in a very same sort of situation. Don't know your way through, can't figure out why it's happening to you, can't see good in it. For sure, it doesn't make logical sense. Have you thought maybe it's been designed to crush you? Not in a sadistic way, not to just watch you squirm. God isn't unfair. But to bring you to your knees, to remind you that you're not all that all fire important to the whole world, to humble you. Remember the words of Deuteronomy, where Moses reminds the people of those 40 years in the wilderness they went through to humble them, to prove them, and to show them what was in their heart, whether they would keep his word or not. Maybe you'd love to have somebody to talk to about it. Maybe you realize your desperate need for a Savior. The first time you've been humble enough to admit you can't make it on your own, that this kind of tough-minded determination is beyond you. I want to point you to Jesus Christ today. It's the cross that lifts up our head. It's the cross that shows us the way. Thank you, Father, for the remarkable, inspiring message from this grand man who shook the world. A life filled with your Spirit, not perfect by his own admission, but what a model of determination and strength amidst hardship. Lord, get us beyond the quick and easy mentality that life's sort of fun and games, that it's sort of easy come, easy go, and you sort of get breaks and you become great in sort of a three-step process. Remind us, Lord, that greatness begins with a humble heart, with a love for integrity and justice, and with a walk in Christ that is consistent and authentic. I pray especially for those who need to make that decision today, that you give them the strength to do it. And give us all the power from your Spirit to hang tough, regardless. We're pressing on the upward way, Lord. And by your grace, we're gaining new heights. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. Today's message from Chuck Swindoll is titled Hanging Tough Together and Loving It. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. As you followed along today, it's possible that you're mulling over issues that seem to control your thoughts.
Though you want to forget what lies behind, as Paul said, it feels impossible to reach forward to what lies ahead. Well, at Insight for Living Ministries, we promise to be here for you every day of your journey, walking alongside you. After all, this daily program and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll is prepared and presented with you in mind. We're intent on hanging tough together, as Chuck said, walking into the future with bold optimism that's fueled by truth and grace. And we can do so because of our monthly companions and all those who give faithfully. If you're a new monthly companion, or if you gave generously at year's end, let me reinforce our deep appreciation for your partnership. While it's true that this program originates from our studios, the reality is Insight for Living would never leave the building without men and women like you who give flight to this ministry. Gratefully, we've added hundreds of new monthly companions, and these friends have a ministry all their own. You can actually see the outcome of your gifts by reading the wonderful comments that are frequently left on our Facebook page. We're still looking to add members to the team, and if you're prepared to take this next step in your relationship with us, we invite you to call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or you can easily sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. To give a one-time donation online, go to insight.org. Join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll talks about avoiding the pitfall of procrastination, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Hanging Tough Together and Loving It, was copyrighted in 1991, 1992, 1999, 2008, and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.